This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And welcome back to some sort of the Cooler Jets podcast. Roast Ben Blessington and no Michael Nania this week. The first time, I think, in the history of this pod, he is already in Vegas. And I think he's been on a 72-hour binge of hookers, gambling, and drugs since that Monday night loss to the Chargers. So he will not be joining us this week, but he will be on the post-game pod. In his place, we brought on Marcus Johnson, who we had on for a Greg Olsen pod, I think, in January, and then a Derek Carr review. And you were awesome, man. And as we were just talking like right before we got on, like, what a whirlwind it's been since the last time we spoke. Not getting Carr, getting Rodgers, the Rodgers injury, you guys firing McDaniels, and now both these teams meet in prime time Sunday Night Football. I don't know how this game didn't get flexed out, but 4-4 versus 4-5, two teams kind of in a similar spot, and this kind of feels like a make or break week, especially for the Jets, but also for the Raiders. I mean, second game outside of after firing McDaniels, obviously last week blowing out the Giants, and then you see that typically with like interim coaches, that first game there's like a big emotional like release, and they come out hot and they usually play pretty well that first game, and then it's can they sustain it, and it's like this is a second week, so it's not the full season, it's still early in Pierce's tenure, it's prime time, they're at home and they're playing a terrible Jets offense, so it's kind of a scary matchup for the Jets. On paper you look at this Raiders team, it's like, okay, the Jets should win this, but then you're like, oh man, this Jets offense is completely unreliable. So all that said, Marcus, first, how are you doing, man? And then we'll hop into this Jets Raiders preview. I have no idea how long this pod will be. We're missing the A side of this pod, so I don't know who's going to bring the stats.
It's okay, man. I'm doing pretty good, man. Covering the Raiders, man, has been a whirlwind. You know, it's been such a difference since Josh McDaniels has been out, and you kind of could tell that they're just tired of him, just watching it on film myself. So it's been a big change with moving on from McDaniels.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of had a similar thing. The Jets never fired Gase midseason, but I just going through and reading a bunch of Raiders articles this week and even just watching the film and seeing the players, it's kind of reminiscent of like Jets fans when they finally got rid of Gase. We didn't have the in-season game to see the impact of it. But just reading Raiders fans, they are happy this guy is gone. So I guess what were the biggest differences schematically in that first game? They fired not just McDaniels, but the OC and the GM, which a lot of turnover. Specifically, let's just start with the offense. And then they started a rookie, Aiden O'Connell, a fifth-round pick who played pretty well. I mean, he managed the game. He averaged, I think, like 8 yards an attempt, although all his completions were under 10 yards I was looking at. But he did a nice job. So what were the biggest differences just in this first game for this Raiders offense?
I think the biggest difference was, you know, they went away from the tendencies that Josh McDaniels has and what defenses were ready for. Because I think a lot of defenses were kind of just – basically knew everything that Josh McDaniels was about to do. And that was kind of half of the reason.
Sounds like Nathaniel Hackett.
Exactly. So defenses knew exactly what Josh McDaniels wanted to do on third down, especially. Raiders have been terrible on third down since last year. They're winning to this year. They're terrible on third down once again. And one of those big reasons, because he has these plays that he runs on third down and they get really, really repetitive. And I think they switched it up this week. Went a lot more short passes on third down, a lot of quick slants, a lot of things that could add up to Yak because they got an accurate quarterback in there. So I think Boy Hardaway did a really good job of mixing it up, especially with the run game too. They went to zone, a lot of zone runs. Josh Jacobs is comfortable there. And, you know, Josh McDaniels is a power guy and he was kind of stubborn there as well. Didn't want to mix it up and make Josh Jacobs comfortable. And especially they got a smaller offensive line. It didn't really make sense to go pure power like they were. So they went 17 zone runs to 9 power runs this past week. So it was definitely a huge switch from what Boer Hardegree, I guess, saw on film for what the Raiders were doing for their tendencies. And he just went after those and kind of switched it up. So it'll be interesting to see how Robert Saleh and these guys kind of adjust to what they did last week. And, you know, do the Raiders kind of go back to some of the stuff Josh McDaniels was doing third down to kind of switch it up? Because he kind of showed some different tendencies. That's what I'm excited to see.
Yeah, I mean, this has potential to be a really ugly defensive battle between these two teams, especially no Colton Miller, which is a huge. I mean, he's doubtful, so maybe he comes through and plays, but it doesn't seem like he's going to play. And that's especially against this Jets defensive line and Bryce Huff. I mean, that seems like a huge loss for this Raiders offensive line. You mentioned Jacobs. He's had a tough season, but then last week he finally looked like the Josh Jacobs of old. You mentioned the switch from gap runs to zone runs. I guess when you look at this Jets defense, and anybody who's listened to this podcast or really has just watched this Jets defense knows the weakness of this Jets defense, although there's not many. I've said this sentence 50 times in this podcast, but it's the teams that just take advantage of the over-aggressive fronts and use those trap runs, the draw runs, the screens, and a quarterback who has to be able to be willing to take the stuff that's underneath because the Jets are going to play that shell coverage and they're going to take away the deep shots. And so O'Connell, like if he's willing to just take those 3-yard completions and try to set up some yak and just keep methodically moving down the field and trying to get that running game open, that's the only way I see this Raiders offense having any success. But the loss of Colton Miller, that's massive. So what is this Raiders offensive line going to look like, you think, on Sunday night?
So, I mean, if they don't have Colton Miller, so it's probably going to be Illuminor at left tackle and then Mumford at right tackle. That would be my guess. They're going to move Illuminor over to the left and Mumford over to right. I think, you know, Mumford's a pretty solid young right tackle, in my opinion. He can get beat, but I think he will hold his own. And he definitely does his a lot better in the run game, too, I think, than Illuminor does on the right side. He's pretty athletic for being how big he is. He's about 330 pounds. He can move, especially when they run those crack tosses. He can get around there pretty quickly and maul some people. So Mumford, he'll do solid. But he's going to get beat. Illuminor, he's actually a pretty good tackle himself when it comes to pass protection. So it'll be interesting to see how he does on the left side. Because I don't know if he's ever played on the left side. Maybe. I'm not sure. But
Bryce Huff is just licking his chops hearing that.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I mean, Illuminor will hold his own against Bryce Huff. I mean, but he'll get beat too. So those are two guys that I know they're going to get beat eventually in that game because they're not perfect. They're not Colton Miller, even if they have some solid reps in between those getting beat. They're going to get beat. And, you know, and even the guys inside, I know you guys are familiar with Greg Van Roten, who's actually having a big year.
I know. I was like, what? Where was this guy in 2019 and 2020? He's like, he's good now? This Raiders O-line's actually statistically been pretty good. And I was like, Roten's your starting guard?
It makes no sense. I thought he'd be like at least okay and better than Alex Bars, but he's actually overachieved in pass protection. He's been terrible in the run game, though. He's awful.
That sounds like him.
Yeah, awful. But in the pass protection, he's actually been pretty damn good. And Dylan Parham is pretty good. And Andre James, he's iffy in the inside. So I think they'll have a game plan for Quinnen Williams. And they'll try to mix it up. I think we'll probably have to do some more chipping this week. There's probably going to be a lot of chipping, a lot of those things. And, you know, dumping the ball off to Michael Mayer after a chip. And those type of things are going to be happening. Because I don't expect them to just leave those guys in the island. Like, you know, Josh McDaniels is doing stuff like that. But I doubt that this week.
Yeah, the guy that I was actually really impressed watching that Giants game was Andre James, because I don't think Dexter Lawrence had a single pressure that entire game. And Lawrence just destroyed the Jets when they played him. This Raiders offensive line with Colton Miller, it would be a pretty formidable opponent for this Jets defensive line. But without Colton Miller, I think, and a young quarterback, and no offense to Aiden O'Connell, who I think played pretty well against the Giants. The Jets have just played a gauntlet of elite quarterbacks so far this season. So it's nice to just be able to play a rookie fifth-round pick without his starting left tackle. I do really think this is a game where the Jets defensive line, I mean, they feasted all season, but I think they can really feast, especially with the stunt packages. I mean, they've gotten more creative with using Jermaine Johnson and moving him all around. Last week, they were putting him inside. He's amazing at stunts. I have to say that the stunts that the Jets were running against the Chargers were just fooling Justin Herbert. And I think they had 8 sacks. I could be wrong. I want to check that.
Tons of pressure.
But they got after him. And so I think that this is a game where the Jets can really frustrate a young quarterback and try to force him into mistakes. And we'll get to the Jets offense in a second. But the key for the Jets, honestly, has been creating turnovers. That's the only way that this Jets offense has been able to put up any sort of points. And against a young quarterback missing his left tackle, I think that's a good opportunity for them to do this. So from the Raiders' perspective, you're Aiden O'Connell. How are they trying to attack this Jets defense? Are they trying to stay conservative and do what the Jets have done all season long and say, let's just try to let our defense win this game and just run the ball. And if we have to get in a punt fest, that's all right. because we trust that maybe Zach Wilson on the other side is going to make a mistake? Or do you think that maybe the Raiders should let O'Connell air it out and throw downfield and maybe catch this Jets defense by surprise? He certainly has the weapons outside.
Yeah, I doubt that, though. I think they're going to try to do exactly what they did last week, which is run the ball a lot. Jacobs had over 25 carries last week. A lot of running the football and a lot of play action, and then, you know, mixing it up on third down, a lot of short passes. Because, I mean, that's what he does really well. He has some pretty good intermediate balls that were dropped, you know. So I know he didn't have some intermediate completions, but he had one that was, like, knocked out of Davante Adams' hands that he had a pretty good throw. He had another great throw under pressure to Jacoby Myers that he dropped. So, I think O'Connell can get it done. I think after he had that start to the Chargers game, it felt like he just became a different player. Like, it felt like he was just like, okay, I might never play football again here. So let me just go air it out and just ball and just do what I can do. And I think that gave him some confidence because he kind of took that from the end of the Chargers game into this game. So he'll be able to handle it. I know that. I know he'll be able to handle the pressure. I know he'll be able to handle the moment. It's just how he executes the offense. That's the kind of thing I want to see. I know he has the toughness. I know he has the grit to do it. I know he has all those things. Nothing's going to get him phased. Even if he does like a fumble and the Jets end up getting some points off of it, he's going to come back and keep firing. I know he has that in him. It's just, can he get it done, execute it? Because he can't move that much and all those things. And he's got to deal with a lot of pressure. Let's see how he gets rid of the football, if he knows where to go and check it down to.
And then on the flip side, I mean, Zach Wilson, this Jets offense, has been a bit of a disaster this season. I've been a little too defensive maybe of Zach Wilson. We've watched the All-22. And, you know, after I did the rewatch, and then I watched the condensed game on Monday night before we did our last podcast. Hadn't watched the All-22, and I just kind of felt like, okay, this is the same Zach Wilson that the Jets have seen since the Chiefs game. Chiefs game aside, he looked like a different guy. He was throwing downfield, aggressively throwing with anticipation, which really is his biggest issue when you watch the All-22, which is hard to see from the broadcast angle. Yeah. That's Zach Wilson's number one issue, is that he still, like he did in college, waits to see a receiver get open before he throws it. And I think part of that is also being worried about turning the ball over. And so one of the things we talked about on our last podcast was this Jets offensive philosophy has been too much of trying to stay in third and manageable, because they had these games early in the season against the Patriots and the Cowboys where Zach Wilson, this Jets offense, is in third and 10, third and 11, third and 12. And it's just the toughest situation for a young quarterback to be in. So they've been really trying to emphasize on short passes, running on second and long, trying to set up these third and fives. And look, the Jets third down offense has been historically bad. So Michael and I were just saying, you know what, start taking shots down the field, because you don't have the offensive line and you don't have the quarterback to methodically move 75 yards down the field in 12, 13 play drives multiple times in a game. Your best chance is getting the ball in the hands of your playmakers and Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson and them creating a big explosive. Ready for this stat? I said this last week. The Jets haven't had a single touchdown drive since that Chiefs game. All their touchdowns have been one play touchdowns.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of the only way this Jets offense has done anything is just a big Breece Hall play. But when I look at this Raiders game, and I was watching the Giants, who were averaging like above 5 yards a carry, and then the game kind of got out of hand and they had to throw. And then I was looking at next gen stats, and I looked at the last three Raiders games, and specifically, I mean, the Raiders run defense, I know, has been an issue, and you can speak to that, but specifically to the outside, to the left, I looked at, where did I put this? I'll cut this out. Hold on.
Yeah. The side Max Crosby's on. Is that what you're getting at?
No, it was the other side. It was so Deontay Foreman had 7 carries to the left outside. He averaged 7 yards a carry. He had 50 total. Jahmyr Gibbs had 10 carries outside to the left. He averaged 6.5 yards a carry, 65 yards total. And then last week, Barkley averaged 7.4 on 7 carries. He had 52 yards total. And so the only reason I say that is last week, especially you see this in the All-22, the Jets on third down ran a little pitch play to Breece Hall. They motioned him, and then they motioned back, a little toss, and Becton was getting out in space, and that was going to be a touchdown. That was going to be the Jets' weekly big explosive Breece Hall play, their one touchdown of the game. And, of course, Breece Hall drops the ball, and they fumbled it. It was just that type of day for the Jets. But Becton will be the left tackle this week. They don't get Dwayne Brown back, and it's kind of a good matchup for it. And we'll get into we do a random prediction at the end of the pod. But I feel good about the Jets having some big runs to the outside, to the left. How do you feel about that? And then just this Raiders run defense as a whole, which is – been kind of porous, but as you said, they do have one of the best defensive players in all of football in Max Crosby.
Yeah, so because Max Crosby, he lines up over the right tackle most of the time. And the Raiders, why teams run to the left is because they have Jerry Tillery, who plays on the left side, who's probably the worst defense tackle run
defender. He was getting moved off the ball. I was noticing that. They also had the rookie who played kind of well, though.
Tyree Wilson?
No, the inside. He was like a seventh-round rookie.
Nesta yes. J. Severa, yeah.
And then
I
read that article too that kind of broke down. He had a nice performance a little bit, you know. He did all right. He did better than I guess when Jerry Tillery is what you're comparing him to. He looks pretty good.
Yeah, because the Bears literally just ran to that side every single time. That's what they did. They ran to that side every single time. And, you know, the Patriots kind of – the last time they played them last season when they had the Jacoby Myers play or whatever with Chandler Jones, that's what the Patriots did.
That was one of the best moments as a Jets fan. I've watched the Patriots just – I'd salivate. I watched that play probably 100 times.
I can imagine.
Thank you, Raiders Nation, for that. We're enemies this week, but forever, the Raiders Nation will always have a place in my heart just from that play alone.
No problem. Yeah, but that's what the Patriots did. They ran right at Jerry Tillery. That's all they did. And that's what teams are doing. And it makes sense to me because he's an awful run defender. And, you know, the other guys on the other side, you know, Tyree Wilson, he's getting a little better. Malcolm Kuntz is not a great run defender. But, you know, so teams are just going to run to that side. They're going to run away from Max Crosby. Because you run at Max Crosby, bad things will happen. Like Jahmyr Gibbs got thrown like 2 yards.
Especially when Max Mitchell is probably going to be your right tackle this week. I mean, we'll get into the pass game in a second. But, yeah, the Jets should not be running right at all this week. It should be all to the left.
Yeah, all to the left, because I'm telling you, just what Jerry Tillery lines up, and he just is awful over there. And then, you know, they used to play Isaac Rochelle, but he didn't play this week. They're playing Malik Reed a little bit this past week, and it's not working over there, right? And then the linebackers, you know, Spillane, I guess he has a broken hand, but he hasn't been physical for a while. You know, the only physical linebacker they have is Luke Masterson, who's coming back this week, but he's not a starter, so I don't know how they're going to mix it in. Divine Diablo, he's a safety converting the linebacker, and that's how he attacks guards. Divine, exactly. That's a great name. But that's how he attacks linebackers like he's a safety still. So he attacks guards or, you know, guys coming up to him in the second level, you know, and they're not physical enough or shoot gaps when the guys in front of them do win. So the linebackers are a bigger issue, in my opinion, than, you know, kind of running to the left side, even though Jerry Tillery is an issue, because those linebackers, they're not coming and filling. They're not doing their job. So that's why you're able to run the ball over these guys, because the linebackers can't tackle very well. Spillane, you know, he has a huge neck, but he has small arms, I guess, because he gets dragged all the time. And then, you know, Divine Diablo is just still learning how to play linebacker, basically. And, yeah, so, I mean, the best guy, in my opinion, is an undrafted dude from Iowa. So it's not good at the linebacker position. That's one of the reasons they can't stop the run. But teams are running to the left because Jerry Tillery, that's where he lines up. So
one of the other things I noticed when I was watching the game is, especially in early downs, the Raiders were running a ton of cover three. And then they got a little bit more exotic. They were mixing in the blitzes. But off of that, the Giants had an opportunity for a deep ball early in the game off a double move. They had another one that they didn't even throw. I think it might have been the first play of the game where I think Jalen Hyatt did a little double move on Marcus Peters, got right by him, and it would have been a big play, but I don't think Daniel Jones even threw it. The second one went out of bounds, and then there was another one too. But there's opportunities for those little double move deep shots. I know Robertson ended up having a great game. He had a pick. He had a forced fumble. I was reading an article, I think, on Silver and Black Pride where they're saying kind of the story of Amik Robinson's career is he'll give up like a big play early on, and then he'll lock in. I don't know if you see that. But do you see opportunities for deep shots for this Jets offense against this Raiders defense?
Yeah, there is. I think what they have to do is kind of just bait these guys a little bit. I think Amik Robinson, he likes to take chances. I mean, if you watch that Daniel.
Same with Marcus Peters.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, you know, with Amik, it's funny that Daniel Jones play is he saw Daniel Jones start to, you know, those throwing motion. I guess he assumed Daniel Jones doesn't throw deep, so he tried to break on it. And the next thing you know, Hyatt's running by him wide open. So that's what Amik Robinson does. He takes a lot of chances. And they have chances to get these guys with double moves. I thought it was interesting they played a lot of cover three this past week, because before they were playing mostly quarters. But this past week they played all cover three. And, you know, these guys around the team are cover three guys. I mean, Trayvon Morey is Gus Bradley. Divine Diablo is Gus Bradley. Nate Hobbs is Gus Bradley. They all come from those guys. That system of playing cover three and that Seahawks.
Yeah, and that's kind of the tree that Sala came off of, although it's changed since he's – you know, over the last few years with him in San Francisco and him as the Jets coach. But do you think that's something that they'll continue going forward, trying to maximize their guys? Or do you think that was a Giant specific? I mean, I know it's hard to predict, but how do you kind of anticipate them?
I kind of do. I kind of think they're going to go more simple that way. just because it allowed them to play faster. Right. But I still, there's going to be openings there, though. I mean, when you play cover three and you can read it and you have time, there could be openings that you can attack, you know, what they're trying to do. And, you know, they did play a little bit of quarters and some of those things, a little bit of cover two, but it was mostly just single high the whole game and mixing it up. And because that's where Morig is the best, when he's in the ranging, he's just going back and forth and he's able to come down and make some tackles. Marcus Epps was able to make some plays too. So, you know, I think they'll probably keep to that, in my opinion, kind of keep it simple for these guys to, you know, play zone and something that they're comfortable with. But we'll see. I mean, they have a lot of cover three guys that came over from different teams. Like they have the Chris Ash, he came from the Jaguars. He was under he was under Gus Bradley too. And he came up from the Jaguars. So a lot of those guys are cover three guys who come into that system. You know, I know Robert Saleh and Dan Quinn, they kind of got away from it a little bit. They still play some cover three, but not as much as Gus Bradley's still doing the same damn thing he did in 2011. So I mean, it works for him, though.
You'd hope that if the only thing I would say is if the Raiders do try to run that, you'd hope that Jeff Ulbrich and Robert Saleh know that scheme so intimately. Yeah. They know exactly how to mm-hmm. attack it. And the Jets, they've done it a few times. I'm trying to remember specifically, but with that Yankee concept with the deep over and then the post right behind it, that's one of the few concepts I've seen Zach Wilson kind of hit. The big problem though is like, okay, let's say you send Garrett Wilson on a post. They don't really have any, but Alan Lazard's a number two receiver and he doesn't separate and he has at least one bad drop every game. He's been their deep over guy. And it does work because they can come out in that 12 personnel. They can motion him in, get him next to the tight end. It looks like a run. They'll go play action and try to hit that deep over. And I've seen Zach Wilson do that a couple times, but he's not a separator. And that's really something the Jets are going to have to figure out this Sunday night. You know, you're not going to be familiar with this guy because he's a no-name. But perhaps the Jets give more reps to a guy like Malik Taylor or maybe even a guy like Jason Brownlee, who's been inactive every single week. They have to find somebody who can create that separation, because Lazard has really been a big problem for this team. You know, he has things that he does well for this Jets offense, but they got left at the altar in the offseason with Corey Davis retiring. And that was really something that I think has been really detrimental to Zach Wilson in this Jets offense, which, look, Aaron Rodgers went down, the whole thing has gone to shit. But that specifically with the receivers, they don't have anybody who can separate outside of Garrett Wilson. So teams just key in on Garrett Wilson and they say, beat us with literally anybody else. And outside of Breece Hall making one big explosive play every game, this Jets offense has been completely anemic. I don't know if you've gotten a chance, how much you've watched the Jets at all, but when you see the Jets and then you know the Raiders very intimately, how do you think they should try to attack this Raiders defense?
I think that how the Jets should attack this Raiders defense, I mean, they got to run the ball. They got to run the ball. I mean, that's the main thing. I think that's how you attack this team. I thought it was weird the Giants really got away from it, like when, especially when Barkley was like getting 10 yards of carry like to start the game, and they kept trying to pass. It was super weird.
Tommy DeVito didn't throw a single pass against the Jets. I wonder if that was a remnant against. I wonder if that's just because he got so much criticism for just only running the ball. But then it's like, then they play the Raiders, and that's the matchup where you really do want to run the ball, and they start throwing with Tommy DeVito. Who, by the way, I went to Syracuse, and that guy was terrible.
Yeah,
I don't want to slander him too much. I don't want to get sued or anything. Some other stuff too. He's awful. Hate that guy.
but they got to run the ball a lot. And I think, you know, with Hackett, it's interesting because, you know, I was watching his offense, and I was especially watching against Chargers, and I'm thinking, you're like, okay, you're playing a cover two, cover five trap team, a team that likes, they'll show cover five sometimes. It looks like two man, but if you do an out, the guy's going to stop and take it. And he just kept running things into it. And I thought that was super weird. Yeah. Like, you got to know what coverages you're going to do. So, I mean, his attack what the Raiders are doing in the passing game, which I don't know if he does. I don't know if that's something he really does.
He's consistently out-schemed. He's out-schemed. He's literally Adam Gase. We hired Adam Gase again, which was he was a Peyton Manning merchant, Adam Gase was, and now we have Aaron Rodgers, which this offense was literally just going to be Rodgers get to the line and just audible into whatever concept he wanted. Yeah. And then Hackett looks like a genius. Hackett's two things have literally been Rodgers merchant, and then he's trademarked the gold zone. That's his red zone. And the Jets have literally been the worst red zone team, I think, since like the 70s or something. So he's been terrible. His route concepts work. I was watching, I think it was a couple weeks ago, but it was JT O'Sullivan. I don't know how much you watch him, but he does like school. Great breakdowns. Definitely check him out. And he was watching this Jets offense and he was like, this is a dinosaur offense. And the amount of times that they ran, and he referred to it as like the Greg Roman special, which I would anticipate a lot this week. Because I guess it's an attack cover three, which is the outside receiver has that must outside release go route, and then the slot receiver runs that little out route to the flat, little 5 yard out route. So that outside receiver takes the deep third with him, and then you hit the slot out. And I was watching the Chargers game. I was like, there's that Greg Roman special time in and time out.
But they're playing cover two, though.
And then I was like, so what are you looking at on the tablet on the sideline? What is the point of the tablet if you're not going to adjust? Everybody wants to put the blame on Zach Wilson because he's clearly not good. And I probably, I'm probably being too much of a fanboy a little bit to him. But I watch him, and it's like, okay, he's clearly better than he was last year, which last year was horrific. So great. That's a low bar to clear. But he's not the biggest problem in this offense. Hackett is number one, which they're not going to revoke his play calling duties because that's just going to upset Aaron Rodgers. And then you could go to Todd Downing, who does have experience in Tennessee, but I just don't think that it's worth angering Rodgers. And then this offensive line has been horrific as well. Although Billy Turner's out for this week, and he was really the big problem last week. So we'll see what the offensive line looks like. If I had to guess, it would be Becton at left tackle, Lakin at left guard, who's one of the worst free agents. Douglas is offensive free agent. Just so I know you're not a Jets guy, so I'll fill you in here. Here are Joe Douglas's offensive free agent signings in recent years. CJ Uzomah, I don't have the contracts in front of you, but CJ Uzomah for double digits, horrible. Mm-hmm. Lakin Tomlinson, who thinks he's getting paid $17 million a year, horrible. Dalvin Cook at the end of August for $7 million, who's been horrible. I mean, I seriously think I'm faster. That's hyperbole. Sorry. Lazard, who's been – he's been bad. He's just to be honest. He's been bad. Tyler Conklin is like the one free agent signing I feel like he's hit on the offense side of the ball. The defense side of the ball, he's had a couple. I'm sure there's a couple other guys I'm missing there. But the offensive side of the ball for the Jets has been awful. But I mentioned Todd Downing because he was with Tennessee in 2019, and that's – I was watching Tennessee 2019 film. That's the – what I think the Jets' offensive identity should try to be, because all the Titans had was Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. Jets had Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. Titans had a better offensive line. They had a better quarterback, but they ran the ball, and then they threw downfield, especially off play action. And so for the Jets going forward, I think they should try to get out of the mindset of playing it safe, don't want to turn the ball over, let's let the defense win the game, throwing 2 yard routes to the flat and running on second and eight. It's just throw downfield and good things happen, whether that's a PI or whether that's Zach Wilson, who does have a live arm. He can huck that thing. Give him opportunities to throw down the field, and maybe he'll create some big explosives. And if it gets picked off, you're punting anyways. So I feel like that's the future for this Jets offense, is to try to set up some downfield opportunities. And then the byproduct of that is that'll open up some of the things underneath, because defenses right now are just crashing underneath. Like the Chargers, I mean, they were playing that cover too, and those press corners were just eating on the Jets flat routes and anything else that they try to do underneath. It's just been a nightmare season for the Jets offensively. But then you say that and you're like, all right, well, they still are 4-4. They are in the thick of things. If they could get a big win here against the Raiders.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I don't know how you're feeling about this matchup. We do a couple things.
Yeah.
We'll go through each roster, where the Jets are better, where the Raiders are better.
Okay.
We'll start with that. And it'll actually be nice to have somebody who can accurately represent the other side of things, because typically I'm very biased, and I think I give every single one of the Jets. And then Michael comes in as, he's the realistic one. He's like, probably the Raiders, or that's a push. And you know the saddest thing is? Because I was looking at beforehand trying to, see who I'd pick. Aiden O'Connell is a fifth-round rookie, and I seriously don't know if I can say Zach Wilson's better. Push. We can go push. That's probably what Michael and I would have done. I don't know what you feel, but how sad is that? The Jets have the number 2 overall pick, third year in the league, and Aiden O'Connell, who's played in one game and is a fifth-round rookie, you just don't feel like he can – or two games, and you don't feel like he can beat that guy out. It's just, it's a sad state of affairs for the Jets QB.
I'm going to go push here. I will.
All right.
Even though I will say, just watching that Chargers game, I felt bad for Zach Wilson because there's some times like there was like a second and four. They just ran the ball, right? They got 6 yards. And then he calls like all hitches or something against cover two.
Yeah.
And then Zach Wilson has to pump. He has to like, oh, because if I throw it, I'm going to throw an interception for sure. Yeah. Right.
And they try to coach that out of him. No picks. Can't have any interceptions. It's like, you're misusing the great defense. He can throw interceptions. This defense is going to hold the three or create their own turnovers.
But exactly. And he had to force it to like a throw it to like a force of the running back or something.
Yeah, he's got the arm angles. At least he can throw a 2 yard pass with the horizontal arm angle. That's cool. Sidearm.
So I'm interested to see if he had like a better coordinator, what he would look like. That's kind of my thing. And that's going to be hard for like the Jets, and you know, if he goes somewhere else, he looks better than he does now.
He will. I've been saying that he's going to be Geno Smith, and everybody hates on me for saying that. But I'm sorry, like he's definitely a late bloomer. I mean, maybe he'll be horrible, whatever. But like, he's a late bloomer. He's gotten a little bit better. He's still horrible. I shouldn't say horrible. He's still bad. Last year, he was horrible. The thing I keep saying to Jets fans though is they keep grading him on the scale of being the number 2 overall pick, which he is, and it's totally fair. Jets fans are just upset because this was supposed to be the year with Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl hopes, and now here we are watching Zach Wilson again, who they benched last year. They benched him twice last year, and the Jets have. I don't think the Jets have hit on a young quarterback my entire life. I mean, Sanchez, Geno. I guess Geno, maybe Geno counts as a hit now. Darnold and Wilson, they've all been terrible in New York, so I understand why Jets fans are upset, but. Yeah. Do you think that the Chiefs, if Mahomes went down, would be good with Blaine Gabbert? I mean, they have Andy Reid and they have some Travis Kelce. But, like, I think if I'm the Chiefs, I'd rather have Zach Wilson as my backup quarterback than Blaine Gabbert, as crazy as that might sound. Mm-hmm. Because at least Zach Wilson has a live arm. He does some good things every game, and then he does some bad things. His main issue right now is just not throwing with anticipation. And he's pretty much a two-read quarterback, which is what they've kind of coached him into. It's like 1-2 and then get to the check down or run. And so they've put the training wheels on him. But the key for him is, in my opinion, is they have to kind of get back to what they were doing against the Chiefs, which is get him out of the pocket a little bit more, throw downfield, call the game aggressively. And if he goes 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, hey, that's 2 more touchdowns than the Jets are putting up right now. So it's like, I don't know. Sorry, I cut you off there.
You're good.
You're an outside perspective. How do you feel watching the Zach Wilson so far this season? I don't know how much you've watched, but
I watched a couple games. You know, Zach's interesting because he does have a live arm, right? And you know, he can move. There's a lot of things he can do. I just think, you know, his pocket
presence. He can move. He has legs.
Yeah, he can move, right? And I think that one of his issues coming out of college was always pocket presence, and I still think that's a problem, right? And when you have the scheme that he's in, that when nobody's getting open, you're not scheming anybody open to help him out, and then he's going to hold the ball, and then he's not going to have that feel of the pressure coming around him. It's not good. So I think he's not set up to be successful right now, but he's also not making up for it. Like some quarterbacks that come in there and just make up for it, whatever the coordinator is messing him up, even if they're young, they could find some way to make up for it. He's not making up for Hackett at all. So
the one thing they've done though is I do think they've done a better job with him than LaFleur. Like I think LaFleur is a better offensive coordinator than Hackett, but at least under Hackett, and I don't know if it's more Downing, maybe it's Rodgers over the offseason, but Wilson's, first of all, the accuracy issues, he still missed a few throws here and there, but last year he couldn't hit the ocean from the beach, which is the famous quote about Christian Hackenberg. He's now at least can hit. You know, he's not embarrassing his accuracy. In fact, he has some great balls. The other one is he finally steps up in the pocket. Like the pocket presence isn't great, like you said. I mean, especially you saw it against the Chargers, and he's fumbled. I think he's 8 fumbles, not a loss, but the entire season he's 8 fumbles. But he's finally stepping up into the pocket, and he's playing within the rhythm of the offense. Back foot hits, steps up, get rid of the ball. But the training wheels are clearly on him, and you can just see that he's so focused on not making the mistake, and that's leading to him not throwing with anticipation, not playing freely. And I understand not wanting to get him out of the pocket, out of structure too much, because that's where a lot of mistakes has happened, when he just bails immediately and then there's nobody on that side and he's throwing picks or he's running for 2 yards or whatever. But they have to get him outside of the pocket, let him play freer. You know, these are all easy solutions for podcasters, but it does seem like we're in week 10 now. It's like, it's the same offense, but when you win, it's a great deodorant. But you notice that Giants game and the Broncos game and the Eagles game, it's still like they're getting away from what works so well against the Chiefs. And I don't know. I do think we'll see a little bit more of it against the Raiders. All right, keep going with the running backs. This is actually a great matchup. Before Josh Jacobs' last game, I would have said Breece Hall has been better this season. Josh Jacobs does have the resume, though. He probably has the better offensive line, although we'll see about this one with no Colton Miller. I'll go to you first. Who would you rather have, Josh Jacobs or Breece Hall?
Oh, man, that's tough.
It could be another push.
I'm going to go for now. I'll go Josh Jacobs just because I think, you know, I think Breece Hall, I think he has the elements to be as good as Josh Jacobs. I just think he's not there yet. And a lot of it is because of the offensive line that he's behind, but I think Josh Jacobs is not behind.
Just turn this podcast off.
I'm sure. When Jacobs, he has just like, I don't know. There's something about Jacobs. He could just make anything happen with a bad offensive line. Like last year, the offensive line was not good, in my opinion. A lot of people, I know there were some metrics that said they had some good run blockers. I watched it. It was all Josh Jacobs making people miss and getting extra 10 yards and doing all these crazy things that he's not doing this year. And you could see where he's not running for 5 yards per carry, because last year he couldn't be tackled. Nobody could tackle him. A guy could be free, a free guy coming right at him. He's going to spin around, make that guy miss, and then get 10. And that's what he was doing last season. He's not doing this year. So I still feel like as an overall running back, because I think Josh Jacobs has had a pretty good year blocking. He's had some great – he's pretty damn good as a receiver right now, and I think he's more of a third down back than he ever has been. So that's why I would go lean to Josh Jacobs, because I feel like even if he's not running the ball well, I could throw the ball to him. He could make a guy miss. He'll block for me and all of those things. And I don't know if Breece Hall, if he's playing.
It's confusing. We have Breece Hall, Bryce Huff. We got two Michael Carters. It's an announcer's nightmare. Yeah, it's terrible. Receiver isn't particularly close, although Devontae Adams was nearly a Jet if you listen to some of the reports this week. I seriously do wonder what the package was. And then you look at the contract and like, how are they trading this guy? It does seem like potentially that could be a move in the offseason. I mean, we'll see what happens with the Raiders. If the Raiders finish the season on a high note, and you know, I don't know if that'll happen. Because you know, Adams did. Didn't Adams grow up a Raiders fan? I know he signed for Derek Carr.
Yeah, he did.
Vegas, lower taxes. It's nice in the sun. So we'll see. That's no sure thing. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Jets did try to make a move to bring in a guy like Devontae Adams to pair him with Rodgers. But the guy that really jumped out to me was Jacoby Myers. I was watching him and I was just like, damn, I really wish the Jets gave him that contract over the offseason and just cut Corey Davis, because he's exactly what they need. And I don't know how the hell he got out of New England. Although, you know, probably just signed with McDaniels, and I don't know if he was a realistic option for the Jets, but I was watching that Giants game. I was like, damn, Jacoby Myers is awesome.
Yeah.
So this one's not close. This was definitely Raiders. I'll put push for running back, because I would say Breece, but quarterback and running back are push. Receiver, no question about it. The Jets just don't have the depth to compete with the Raiders, who have Hunter Renfrow as the fourth receiver. And was it Trey Tucker, who had I think he had like one of the fastest plays last week. He looked insane.
He's fast as hell.
Yeah. So Raiders, it's not even close. Tight end is a little bit more interesting. Give me the scouting reporter, Michael Mayer.
Okay.
Apparently the Jets were interested in him in the draft, and the Raiders took him. I love Tyler Conklin for the Jets, but then the Jets have this tight end, CJ Uzama. You know who CJ Uzama is. And between him or Dalvin Cook, Michael's public enemy number one. Uzama's been absolutely dreadful for the Jets for two seasons now. Michael just thinks he's on a team because he dyes his hair and he pumps up the team and he seems like a Hackett guy. The Jets do have Jeremy Ruckert behind him, who's a third round pick from that 2022 class, which, by the way, I mean, I don't know if you've looked at it. That might go down as one of the best Jets. It's definitely the best Jets draft class of all time.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to have, depending on how the next few years go, it could have a say for one of the best draft classes of all time. When you think of Sauce, Garrett, Jermaine Johnson, who's turned into an elite player, which he wasn't last year. Young defensive linemen typically struggle. Shout out Tyree Wilson and Will McDonald. Breece Hall, Rucker, Clemens, and then Max Mitchell, although Clemens has been pretty brutal this year. But so the Jets tight end room as a whole, I do really like. Uzama is a net negative, though. He detracts every time he's on the field. How do you feel about this Raiders tight end room versus the Jets?
I think that it's a good tight end room, to be honest. I think it's they block pretty well. I think Austin Hooper's actually showing as a better blocker than I thought that he would. Michael Mayer gets better as a blocker every single week. And I think he hasn't even got a chance to showcase himself as a receiver really yet.
Yeah.
And I think that's where he is really special, because, you know, one game he had like 5 catches, 75 yards. The one game they did target him a lot and he was making guys miss in open field. He's a good yak guy. That's why I hope Aiden O'Connell leans on him a lot more for checkdowns, because he could take a 2 yard check down and get 10. And that's what he does as a tight end. He's hard to tackle. He'll run you over. He'll juke you. There's a lot of things he does in the open field that I think he has a chance to be really special. That's why I really like him, because he has top five tight end potential.
Certainly has the highest ceiling out of any guys listed here.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that you start to see it more every week because he's also getting better as a blocker, which I love that he is getting so much better there, because he was terrible in the preseason. And now he's pretty
preseason
decent.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I remember Jamar Chase being terrible, and like you blame the stripes on the ball not being there for dropping, and then everybody's like, this guy sucks. And then he's like one of the best rookie receivers ever.
Exactly.
Preseason doesn't matter.
Yeah, preseason doesn't matter at all. But you see him getting better there every week, and I really like it there. So I don't know. I feel like this is a push because I don't think these tight end groups are like that stand out. You know what I mean?
Right. All right. Offensive tackle would very clearly be the Raiders if Colt Miller is playing. Without him, this is tough because I think Becton is definitely the best tackle in this game. I mean, you let me know, but I would say Becton without Colt Miller is the best tackle in this game. But then Max Mitchell on the other side, who actually wasn't the Jets' biggest problem last week. He played guard last week, and honestly, Billy Turner was definitely the worst player on that line. And then I would probably say Lakin Tomlinson was the next worst. Mitchell looked all right at guard, but Mitchell as a whole is not very good. So you got Becton at left tackle, and I'm just assuming that's what the Jets are going to do. Becton at left tackle, Max Mitchell at right tackle.
Okay.
Becton is definitely developed into that player that you thought he could be as a rookie. He's stayed healthy, knock on wood. He's been like the only Jets offensive line that has stayed healthy, knock on wood. But how do you think he compares to these Raiders backup tackles?
Yeah, I think it's a push again. Even with that, because you know Mumford, even when he hasn't played like a full game yet this season, they do a little weird rotation thing. So it's gonna be interesting to see how he plays. I kind of want to see him play a full game first before I even try to say that somebody's better than somebody else. I think Luminor is just a solid tackle. I don't know how he's gonna look on the left side though. So I don't know if he's played left. I hope they don't play Brandon Parker. I pray to God they don't play Brandon Parker left tackle. So that's what I'm doing, you know, in my at night, because they re-signed him, and I'm sure every Raiders fan will be terrified if he suits up and he's active. So if hopefully he doesn't play left tackle, yeah, exactly. So hopefully he doesn't suit up at left tackle, I'm hoping. But you know, I think this is a push too there too as well.
Okay, I struggle with the interior offensive line giving it to a unit with Greg Van Roden, but he is. Definitely been better with the Jets have had with Lakin Tomlinson this year. It's just hard to debate. Joe Tippmann is the one plus guy that the Jets do have in the interior. And it does seem like the Jets might play Xavier Newman, who's only played against the Giants. He was brought up off the practice squad, played guard for like a series, and then never played center before and had to play center against the Giants after the Jets lost all their centers. And he actually, you know, he had a tough start, but he settled in all right. I think it's going to be Newman. They did bring in Roger Saffold. So I don't exactly know what this Jets interior is going to look like. There's also some rumblings that maybe the Jets will try to play Tippmann at guard. So against Max Crosby, they can give Max Mitchell some help, which does kind of make sense. And play Newman at center, which he did settle in against the Giants. They got that. I don't know if you watched the game, but hopefully you didn't, but they spiked the ball with 1 second. And that was a lot of that had to do with Newman getting up there and spotting the ball. So he's at least done it a little bit. I don't know exactly what this interior is going to look like. I struggle giving it to the Raiders with Greg Van Roten, but it's hard to debate the numbers, so I think this has to be the Raiders.
I think you have to go to the Raiders because I think Dylan Parham has a chance to be a really good guard, and he hasn't really struggled that much in pass protection this year. Run game, there's some instances because he hasn't played strip issues, and I think he's more of a finesse tackle, more of a pass blocking guard. I mean, and you know he could play in different positions and stuff like that. He could play center as well, just in case Andre James goes down, he could move to center. And he's a very versatile guy, and I think he's very strong in pass protection. And I think the inside they have pretty good communication. Recently, they've been able to work stunts. And, you talk about the Jets running a lot of stunts. That's where they're going to be tested a little bit this week. But I think they have good communication, especially Colt Miller's out, and that's a big deal because Parham and Colt Miller work excellent together on the left side, and that's going to be a big deal for them. But I still think interior-wise on the offensive line, I think that it'll be the Raiders for sure.
All right, this has been quite ugly when you look at the Jets' offense. So far, it's two for the Raiders, receiver and interior offensive line, and then we went pushed QB, running back, tight end, offensive tackle, although you would have given the Raiders running back. Either way, it's not bad with the Jets and Breece. But the defense side of the ball is where the Jets should make up for it. The one that's interesting is edge, because Max Crosby is so damn good. But the Jets do have Bryce Huff. Jermaine Johnson's really coming to his own. John Franklin Myers is a fantastic player. They do have guys like Carl Lawson and Will McDonald, the rookie. So this is a very, very good Jets edge group and a really deep group. They rotate them constantly. They basically are 10 deep. I could throw Clemens in there as well. So I definitely depth wise, I'd give it to the Jets, but Max Crosby is so damn good.
Yeah.
They have Tyree Wilson, who's starting to come on. He looked a lot better against the Jets. Well, I don't know if he looked a lot better, but he looked pretty solid against the Giants.
Yeah.
And then Kuntz on the other side as well. How do you feel about the edge rushers in this one? Is this another push, or do the Jets finally get on the board here with their first win?
Yeah, I think the Jets get on the board just because they have more guys that are dangerous.
I didn't want to offend you with because Max Crosby's so damn good. But like,
yeah. I mean, Max is so damn good. You know, but I still think the edges will definitely go to the Jets just because they have more better rotation. I mean, there's a reason why Max plays every snap. You know, that's for a reason. Is because really they can't have him off the field. And you know the Jets, they can have the luxury.
What was the Vegas line for Max Crosby sacks this week? Do we know? Maybe I should look that up. If it's 2.5, take the over. Honestly, I think he has 3 sacks against the Jets this week.
Yeah, because he's playing out of his mind. Yeah. He's playing out of his mind. So if, since he's playing out of his mind, yeah, there it could look equal. But I just overall, if me personally, I would rather have the Jets rotation with Max Crosby than.
Will McDonald's come under a lot of fire this week, because even though he had his first sack and a strip sack against the Chargers, but you know, young defensive linemen typically take a year. I remember Quinnen Williams getting a lot of hate his rookie year because he didn't really do anything. So and Jermaine Johnson last year didn't really do much. So it's really, you can't really judge these guys until year two or year three for the young defensive linemen. But the Jets took Will McDonald, presumably because the rumor was because they wanted offensive tackle, the Patriots jump him. And the Steelers take Broderick Jones, or the Patriots trade down, the Steelers jump up for Broderick Jones. So maybe the Jets would have taken off its tackle, which would have been nice. The Jets go instead take the best player on the board, Will McDonald, but they left a lot of receivers on the board who are doing work. And then you look at this Jets receiver room, and it's like, it'd be pretty nice to have a Jordan Addison right now, or a Jaxon Smith-Njigba, or a Zay Flowers, or one of those guys. But I do believe in Will McDonald, and I do think that Max Crosby is a guy you can look at as maybe a guy Crosby's like cream of the crop, but maybe a guy McDonald can develop into it with his physical traits. Interior defensive line, this one, sorry, is pretty obviously the Jets with
Cam Lynch. To be honest, you can go all the rest of these just Jets.
Yeah, I know. Interior defensive line, linebacker, corner. Safety would be the only one that I could maybe make an argument for the Raiders. I don't know how you.
I was thinking this whole time, like, if you go defense, man.
Offense was definitely going to be the Raiders, but how do you feel about the safeties? Jets have Tony Adams and Jordan Whitehead, who, you know, they are the benefactors of the Jets having elite cornerback play. I mean, all three guys that the Jets play on that corner are unbelievable, and they have a great pass rush. So these safeties aren't tested too much. Whitehead makes, you know, a play every game. Tony Adams had the game-winning interception against the Eagles, but he's an undrafted free agent. How do you feel like the Raiders safeties have played this year?
To be honest, I think that might be the only push on defense, because I think the Raiders safeties are pretty
good.
Trayvon Morrig is playing. He's definitely have a career year. Marcus Epps, I think he's made a big deal. The Raiders haven't given up a lot of huge plays. I mean, that's one thing they haven't done, especially in the past game, is give up explosive plays. And I think it's because of those two. And, you know, Morrig has a couple picks this year. You know, he has made some great tackles. He has a pretty damn good games. And, you know, same thing with Marcus Epps. They play pretty well over there. They play a lot of three safeties, too. They got Isaiah Polamalu, who plays out there, too, as well. He gets a little mix in there. He went to my high school, so I always shout him out. But, nice. So he is somebody that's coming up. And they went a lot more three safeties this past week. You know, they had Polamalu sometimes running free safety, and then have Morrig and Epps up front, and then kind of mixing it up with those guys. So I think Trayvon Morrig and Epps and some of the safeties around there, that's probably the Raiders' best group in the secondary. And honestly, to me, that's their best group on the defense. So that's why I would say it was a little bit of a push there.
I agree with that.
Yeah, because if the Jets had Trayvon Morrig, they'd probably be, like, ridiculous. So
yeah. Hey, we got Ashton Davis as our third safety. They've been playing a lot more big nickel with Davis, and they have Adrian Amos as well. But, you know, clearly the safeties are the weak link of this Jets defense. But at the same time, they have not been bad this year. Outside of the first few weeks, there are some miscommunications in the backfield. There haven't really been any in the last few weeks, but maybe the Raiders can capitalize on something like that. But really, I mean, when you look at this Jets defense, from the defensive line to the linebackers, which we didn't talk about, but the Jets linebackers right now, especially Quincy Williams, are playing at an unbelievable level.
It's not even close.
Get ready for some uppercuts. That's his big sell. We got a few celebrations. We got Quincy Williams' uppercut. We've got Jermaine Johnson's, like, it's like a, I think it's an FSU thing, but I call it like the Thor hammer. He lifts his arm up and then, you know, comes down. And then we've got Bryce Huff has this little waddle celebration. So we've got some celebrations. Does Max Crosby have
No. It's just him and patting his chest.
Yeah. He acts like he's been there before. That's fair. So the final tally was Jets 4 with the edge, the entire defense outside of safety. The Raiders 2 with receiver interior offensive line, although you might give them running back. And we did push at QB, running back, tight end, offensive tackle, and safety. Yeah, that is the story with this matchup is the two defenses. Obviously, this Jets defense has been playing at an elite level. I wonder how many teams in NFL history have had – we'll see how this ends up working out at the end of the season, but the best defense in the league and then the worst offense in the league, because that's really what the Jets are heading towards at the midpoint of the season. The Raiders defense played certainly inspired last week. A few more things here, then we'll get out of here. I forgot to do it before we broke down, but a key matchup on for the Raiders offense versus the Jets defense, then a key matchup on the flip side of things. Do you have one that you're thinking of that can help decide this game from either perspective, Raiders or Jets?
Yeah, honestly, I think a key matchup, you know, I want to call out is the linebackers versus tight ends. Because I think that's what the Raiders are going to attack. I mean, I don't think they're going to attack outside that much. I think they're going to try to stay away from those guys as much as possible, especially with Aiden O'Connell's strength to throw to the middle of the field. I think we're going to see how those, you know, they're going to try to attack those linebackers. Because even, you know, a good CJ Mosley is, you know, his thing is more kind of playing the run and just being a playmaker than actually kind of guarding somebody one-on-one. So I think they're going to try to attack him a little bit. You know, Quincy Williams, he's just kind of awesome. But I think CJ Mosley has a little bit of cracks and maybe some things you could attack a little bit against him. So I think that's where they're going to go and try to attack inside, especially with like even moving Adams inside and a lot of those guys, because I know Sauce and them don't move around that much. So they're going to try to move these guys around, and I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to try to attack inside. So we're going to see how good those Jets linebackers can cover a little bit. But I think they're going to be ready for the challenge, but I think that's going to be the Raiders' kind of best matchup.
Willie, I have to say, and somehow I've lost the video. I don't know. Sorry for those watching on YouTube. It's just the logo at this point, which was the only video we used to use. So I guess they're used to it. But Quincy Williams has been fantastic in coverage. And that was one of the few criticisms I had of this Jets defense last week. And it's like the only thing you could say was there was a key third down right after the Jets' second fumble in the game, and they went dime. They brought Brandon Echols in the game, and they took Quincy Williams out and left Mosley in. And it ended up with Mosley on Eckler, and Herbert was able to get out of a sack, and Eckler was able to get away from Mosley. It was a big gain, and the Raiders ended up scoring a touchdown on the drive. So I was furious about that, because it's like, if you're going to go dime, keep Quincy Williams in the game, because he's been unbelievable covering receivers, tight ends, running backs. I mean, the Jets asked him to do it all. So I feel good about the Jets' chances in that matchup. I think the one thing for me with this Raiders offense versus Jets defense is just that the Raiders taking advantage of kind of what we were talking about with the screen play. There was a one play in this game where Eckler actually ended up dropping it. I think it was on a third down, but the Chargers had a huge gain on the screen. The Jets have had some troubles with the screen. So I don't know if this is necessarily a matchup, but Williams and on Jacobs, actually, I think it's more so Whitehead on Jacobs in the screen game. Sometimes that's kind of what ends up happening, especially if Williams goes with the tight end. That screen game for the Raiders, I feel like, could be a huge opportunity for them to get some sort of yards, although I do anticipate a low-scoring affair. On the flip side of things, this Jets offense versus Raiders defense. I mean, the key matchup is Max Mitchell versus Max Crosby, which isn't even a key matchup because it's going to be domination, but it's how do the Jets handle it with keeping tight ends in. I hope, for the love of God, it's not Uzama. He will not be able – he gave up a sack last week where he had help, I think, with Rucker, and he allowed the sack anyways in the inside. So for the Jets, I think obviously chipping Max Crosby is going to be huge. I think if it's Conklin, who's actually a pretty good pass blocker, or Rucker, you're not going to be able to stop him, but they can at least hopefully mitigate it, because Max Mitchell against Max Crosby is going to be a nightmare matchup. Do you have anything on that side of the ball that you're looking forward to outside of Crosby dominating Max Mitchell for an hour?
Yeah, I'm interested in how they try to stop Garrett Wilson. I'm kind of interested in that, because, you know, to be honest, the Raiders haven't been tested outside that much. And this is not the week
that they're going to be. But
I know, but it's interesting to me that they haven't been, right? I mean, Marcus Peters has just been chilling half the time. That's why he doesn't come up and tackle. He's probably been just eating sandwiches over there because nobody's testing him, right? So I still think they're going to try to test those guys a little bit. And, you know, just because, you know, Garrett Wilson is probably the only guy out there that can really affect the Raiders. I'm interested to see what that matchup is, because, you know, Max is going to win. You know, I'm not worried about Max. Max is going to, even if you double team him, he's so willed that, you know, it's going to be all game. He's coming. It's not like just one match or one snap. He's coming for 70 snaps, just every single snap. And it's the same velocity, same speed every single time. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun day for whoever that right tackle is. Whoever's chipping him, it's going to be a fun day for them too. So I think the matchup is going to be, you know, how the Raiders can control Garrett Wilson. Because if Garrett Wilson goes off and the Raiders make Zach Wilson look good, like they did Tyson Bagent, it's not going to be a good day. So,
All right. The other thing we do is we pick a, because we the podcast for one of the podcasts for Jets X Factor, we choose an X Factor for this game, similar to the matchup, but like the one player, I guess you could give it from the Raiders perspective. Usually it's a different Jets player. We've been pretty on the money. I mean, my predictions have been horrible this year. I think Michael is 7-1 actually, and I'm 4-4. So I'm like the Jets, I guess. But my X factors have been pretty on the money. Last week I chose Lazard, and he was a huge X factor in terms of the biggest difference between the Jets playing well and playing poorly. So I guess you can give the Raiders X factor. For me, the big Jets X factor for this game, Mekhi Becton. I think the Jets are going to need a big run to the left, especially on the outside, and getting Becton out in space against this Raiders defense on the outside is going to be an opportunity for the Jets to have at least one, if not a few big runs to the left. And I think Becton is a guy that the Jets are going to really have to lean on to create some offensive production. So my X factor for this week is Mekhi Becton. Marcus, from the Raiders' perspective, who is the X factor, the biggest difference for the Raiders having a good game and a bad game? If you had to choose one player, who would it be this week?
I think it's Hunter Renfrow.
I think
he could be X factor because, like I said, I think they're going to try to attack the middle of the field, and I think he's going to have a big factor in that. And, you know, I talked about Michael Mayer a little bit, but even Hunter Renfrow, I think he's going to have a good chance to really get some catches. It might not be a lot of yards, but to kind of move the chains and get back into that mode, because he had two first downs last week, and that's what they call him, third Renfrow. And I really expect him to kind of be an X factor in this game inside, you know, because they are going to try to attack inside and move these guys around and try to get away from Sauce Gardner and those guys.
Hey, and beware Michael Carter II, though. He's the best nickel in the league.
I know that. But, you know, I think there's going to be a good chance to can move Renfrow around and try to figure out how to, you know, get him the ball. And he can make guys miss and stuff like that. I think he's a little bit of an X factor in this game.
All right. I'm trying to think. Oh, last thing. Okay. Sorry. Last thing in the predictions. We have one random prediction. So you can go an offensive random prediction and a defensive random prediction, and then the score prediction. We'll get to the score in a second. Let's see. And Michael goes so hyper specific on this. For instance, his last week was a Michael Clemens blocked field goal and a Zach Wilson rushing touchdown. Obviously, none of that happened. I had Mosley force fumble, which we were talking about the fumbles in the preview pod. There were plenty of them. The Jets just couldn't fall on any of them. And Lazard deep ball, which they did try, but Lazard just didn't want to high point it for whatever reason. So do you have a random prediction on the offense side of the ball and the defense side of the ball?
Random prediction. Let me see.
I can give you one. I'll give you one.
Okay.
I think Breece Hall has a 50-yard run on the left side. I think 50 yards plus. I think he's going to have a huge run. He's had some big explosive plays this year, but I think one of them is going to come against the Raiders down that left sideline. So that's my offensive random prediction.
My random prediction is that Michael Mayer leads the Raiders in yards.
Okay. I like that. I'm writing them down.
Okay.
and then do you have one for the Raiders defense?
Raiders defense. I'm going to go Max Crosby has 5 sacks.
You know what? Honestly, he might.
That's my random prediction. There you go.
The Jets better be triple teaming and Max Crosby 5 sacks. Wow. Take the over on Crosby sack. I really do want, I should look it up, but you know, somebody can comment it. The Jets defense though. You know what? I'll say Sauce Gardner gets his first interception of the season.
Okay.
Yes, he's not had him. Quinnen has 0.5 sacks. Sauce has no interceptions. These guys got to get on the scoreboard. So I'll add that. Sauce Gardner gets his first interception, and Quinnen Williams gets his first full sack. Those are my random predictions. Then last thing, Marcus, I promise. I know we've went longer than I thought we would. Score prediction. How do you think this one goes for the Raiders? I think this is going to be an ugly defensive battle. Who do you see coming out on top here?
You know, I think the Jets probably end up winning this game because I think Aiden O'Connell's going to have a welcome. He kind of had a welcome to the NFL moment with the Chargers. I think it's really going to happen this game. So, especially with Colt Miller out, man, I just don't feel very comfortable about it. So, you know, I think the Jets are going to pull this one ugly as hell, right? Like a 16-13, and it's something stupid like that.
That'd be pretty nobody wants to watch this season, honestly.
Something nobody wants to watch on Sunday Night Football. Let's just say that.
I know. I have the primetime slate this week. Michael's prediction is, he just texted me. Okay. He said, my prediction is Jets. And by the way, Michael's 7-1. So he's the only prediction anybody should honestly be listening to.
Oh, wow.
We don't know your record yet. My record's 4-4. My record's just nothing. I think I picked the Jets in every game except the Eagles game, which they won. So
okay,
everybody can ignore my prediction. But Michael's prediction is Jets 23, Raiders 13. And I do agree. I don't think the Jets have maybe the offensive performance that's going to satisfy everybody on Jets Twitter. I still think that the Raiders are going to make some plays. I think it's going to be the Breece Hall show. I do think I figured maybe I should try this for the random prediction, but you know what? I'm just going to bet on Breece Hall. But I do think the Jets are going to have a play action deep shot as well in this game. I think they're going to try to take some shots down the field. It could lead to Zach Wilson throwing some interceptions, but hey, you have this Jets defense to hold a rookie quarterback missing his starting left tackle to at least a field goal, if not punts, turnovers, and whatnot. I think the Jets win this. I agree with you. I think it's going to be pretty low scoring. Michael said 23-13. I'll say 17-3. How about that? Sorry, okay. Raiders. Sorry, Raiders fans.
I mean, that's not crazy to me, to be honest with the way this game might go. So,
but I do. Hey, I like Antonio Pierce. I like the outlook for the Raiders. I mean, certainly better than Josh McDaniels. I mean, that's, I don't know how he got a job. Technically for the third time, because I guess the Colts hired him too and fired him.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Marcus, where can the people find you? Because not only do the Raiders, I mean, you can give all the plugs, but you're a great voice to follow on NFL Twitter for breaking down quarterbacks, breaking down film. You're a smart NFL mind. So tell our listeners where they can find your work and follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, so follow me on Twitter at TheMarkJohnNFL. Of course, go to Taped Online. If you guys, enjoy this preview, me and my co-host Matt Holder, we're going to be doing a preview of the Jets tomorrow. So go check that out. It's going to be all film preview, going over how we think the Raiders can stop them or, what their weaknesses are or whatever, what their strengths are. We do that every single week. So check that out tomorrow. And then, I got a quarterback podcast called A Little Pocket Awareness. Check that out as well. I go over quarterbacks and talk about a whole bunch of stuff, all quarterbacks on that one. And that's mostly it. And of course, silverblackpride.com, but I'm not sure Jets fans don't want to read stuff. But I'm there too, But like for Taped Online, we do a whole bunch of draft stuff. So that's kind of the difference. You like the draft. We might go over somebody that Jets drafted, or something like that, or, those type of players. And so, come check us out over there.
All right, Marcus, you can follow us at CYJPod on Twitter. Myself, Ben W. Blessington. I'll give Michael. I mean, everybody follows Michael anyway. He's pushing 40,000 followers. It's crazy. At Michael underscore
Nania. They're balling, bro.
I know. That Twitter blue check is like, I mean, it's only like $13 a month. I know people will criticize him sometimes and be like, you're doing this for Twitter money. It's like, they don't know. He can buy himself like a Chipotle burrito with the money he gets every month. This is nothing. It's nothing to Michael Nania. But you go to JetsXFactor.com, best place to go for Jets content. Subscribe to the other Jets X Factor pods. Subscribe to the Jets X Factor YouTube. If you can, rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. That'll do it for us. Marcus, thank you so much. Really appreciate you filling in here for Michael. You gave some great Raiders insight. Michael and I will both be there. So our post-game pod will probably come out Monday, depending on flights. Could be Tuesday morning. So be on the lookout for that. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Really appreciate it. Again, Marcus, thank you so much. Everybody have a great weekend. Go Jets.